Evangelis a su guarda la gloria, Evangelis. Periota. Evangelis. Eshimula. Vale, let's go. Hola, what's this?
I storm and preach. But today, now, I feel like I need to do some teaching. And I hope that you will understand my word. My language is probably so different. But the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. And I want to thank Brother Okoye. Thank you for hosting me. Our sister Bieni and Brother Edu. This is my third time in Asaba, and I know I'm outside of the city, but I came because I met Brother Edu on Facebook. So if you're there, you're more than welcome to add me. My name is Heshimu Kola. And he invited me because he wanted to hear the gospel preached in his area. And he opened his home to some friends and some family. And then we also, or I also met my sister Bieni, who has brought me back. And I have a very, very full schedule. So I don't have time to prepare each message as I normally would. So I ask you to please tarry in prayer. I don't make it as an excuse. I make it as a call for more prayer. That the Holy Spirit of God would minister unto us. Because he has all of the power. The enlightenment, the understanding of the blessing comes from God himself. Ezekiel chapter 37. And I want to read and work down through verses number 1 through 14. Talking about the redemption of chosen vessels being brought back by the grace of God to salvation and eternal life. And he says, the hand of the Lord was on me. This man, Ezekiel, as he was a true prophet. There are many false prophets in our midst, but in the Bible, they did have true prophets and true miracles. And Ezekiel, he was a man who saw the Lord God in power. He saw the wheels. He saw him that sits upon the throne. He saw the rainbow of the covenant. He saw the gospel of the grace of God. And he says that he, the mighty God, the only true God, he brought me out by his spirit. That's how God interacts with man through Jesus Christ, but it's by his spirit because the Spirit gives us life to understand the gospel and to know God for who He truly is. Without the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we can never see God. We can hear 1,000 sermons and we never know Him. We can come to church, we can become evangelists, but we can never know God. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. No man left to himself will ever find God. What the Scripture says in the book of Romans in chapter number 3, verse number 10 through 12 is, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. But the gospel is impossible to understand because it is spiritually revealed. There is no one who seeks God. We're sinners in the flesh. We are spiritually dead, as we'll see in this chapter. All have turned away. All alike have become useless or unprofitable, worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. And because of this condition, the glory belongs to God in our salvation. His Spirit set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. This is a picture of us who He plans to save. And He led me all around them to make sure that I could see the situation very carefully. And there were great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. They were very dead in trespasses and sins. This is a shock. This is a horrible thing. That the sinner has been cut off and cursed from God. Our father Adam, many thousands of years ago, he sinned against God. He ate a piece of fruit the Lord God had forbidden, but what he did was an act of rebellion so great that God cursed all of mankind. That's why our babies died. That's why we are spiritually dead. Open, please, into Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read verse number 1 through 3. These bones were very dry. There was no life in them. There was no possibility or ability of them coming to God themselves. They were dead in trespasses and sins. And I want you to understand that the Bible is a spiritual book. And when it talks about the miracles, it is chiefly talking about the salvation of our soul. The miracle of regeneration, of the new birth, of the eyes being opened, of a sinner getting life from the dead. I'm standing here as someone who has attained mercy, a sinner who was given life from the dead. It does not mean I was in a tomb, in a physical tomb, in a literal tomb, and I was physically dead. But inside of my soul, inside of my being, inside of our hearts, is utter corruption and deadness until we meet God. And it's up to Him to raise us. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1 through 3, it illustrates this point very clearly and carefully. And Paul the Apostle says it in a positive way. You have he what? What does it say? Quickened. That word means made alive, You had, that means I wasn't alive, but he made me alive, who were what? Dead in trespasses and in sins. I wasn't physically dead, I was dead to God. Did not want God, did not love God, did not understand God, did not believe God. I thought I was worshiping God, and I was dead wrong. I was under the power and dominion of Satan. That's what the sister and the brother were talking about on the way here. Who is worse? A witch doctor or a false prophet? And the verdict was a false prophet. But everybody knows that the witch doctor is wrong. When they tell you to go worship the river god, he's too small, don't he? He's a river god? My God rules heaven and earth. He made all things. He was before all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that God is Jesus Christ. He was pre-incarnate in his glory as God, sat down equal with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he created all things by the splendor of his majesty. He spoke it and came into being. And everything is happening right now as he has ordained it. He never shocked. He never caught by surprise. He never learns. He knows all things always. He is God of judgment. Just read power and majesty. He's about to give life from the dead. And everybody he saves us that exact same way. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you previously walked. Everybody he saves is in this condition before he saves us. Not one of us is any better than anybody else. We're not saved because we were better than them. We're saved because God raised us from the dead.
Yeah.
He quickened us. And what the Bible really says, though, is that he quickened us with Christ Jesus. 2,000 years ago, before I was born, I was crucified in Christ and resurrected in Christ. And so my salvation was guaranteed before I was born. He made us alive together with Christ. He united us with Christ. He said, I've set up Christ from everlasting. He will be my Savior. He will be my Redeemer. He will save my people. And the Lord Jesus said, I will go. But the Spirit said, after you redeem them with your precious blood, I'll go and give them life. I'll make them understand the gospel. I'll cause them to believe. I'll give them a new heart. And they will love you. And praise you for your worthiness. And so the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are working together in the salvation of the elect. And they're damning everyone else. Is that not what's happening on planet Earth? It's the only thing happening, Lord. God is having mercy on whom he will. And whom he will in part. He causes them not to understand. And you know how he does that? He doesn't give them an understanding. I was reading Matthew 13, and the Lord Jesus said that unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, unto them it has not been given, and that's why I speak in parables. So that you can come near and I explain them unto you.
Yeah.
And then you go out and preach them, and the ones who want to hear, because I quickened them, come and say, tell me more.
Tell me more.
Salvation is God. Wow. It's not of man at all. If we get back into our text, if you'll see, Ezekiel couldn't do nothing. It took God. Is your God a man or is your God God? Listen now. Are you looking to men or to Jesus Christ? You only get to pick one. Hallelujah. That's the truth. The truth of the gospel. The power is God's, and it's big power. Mighty power. In which you walked according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens or the spiritual realm, the spirit who now is at work in the children of disobedience. Sometimes that spirit will lead a man to be a pimp. And that's what we have in the U.S. is a pimp is in control of the prostitutes. But sometimes that spirit, and I think he's exceedingly happy at this, brother, he will lead us into being false prophets. He doesn't care whether you go to hell as a prostitute or as a false prophet. It doesn't matter to God or to the devil. He leads men to all kinds of ways of destruction. Just because a man has a pulpit and a Bible means nothing in Nigeria. Don't be deceived, oh. Read your Bible, give the message, and give all glory to God. If I don't give him glory, I'm cursed. If I'm not after the good of your soul, I am cursed. Nothing but a false prophet. But the devil, he takes people into bondage. Verse 3, we too all previously lived in this. I was as deceived as anybody else. I had no power to get myself out. I didn't even know I was wrong. I went to church one day as the assistant pastor at my old church. I was working my way up the ladder, and then I heard the gospel. I heard that everything I was doing was not good enough. I finally heard. I had been told, try as hard as you can and learn the Bible. That's good enough. It's not. Salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death. And anything I do on top of that disqualifies me. You see that? Oh God, I've been sacrificing all month. This is the month of Shiloh. I've been sacrificing all year. I haven't bought clothing. I've been doing these things just to give my money to Shiloh. Now accept me, please. Unworthy. What? Because there's sin. There's pride. There's selfishness. There's covetousness. There's greed. There's look at me, God. It's spiritual death. It's the devil tricking us into religion. His favorite game to play is false religion. He loves it. When the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, but it hasn't been conquered. He goes out and he finds 7 more demons and he makes them a pastor. And I'm not speaking of you, my sister, but I know places I go, the hardest place, the hardest person to reach is the pastor's wife. Because everybody's looking at her like, she just threatened her. Oh, it's an abomination. The blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ, his son, is all our sins.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Right on.
Let me just quote you that in 1 John 1, because everything I'm saying is in the Bible. And it shocked me too. It shocked me. Because my sister, as I was preaching and I was doing the best that I can, and I was sincere in my prayer closet, and then the preacher came and he cracked open 1 John 1 and it says this: if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And I thought, at least I'm trying as hard as I can. He must excuse my sin. No. He cannot accept anything with sin on it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So here's what I'm saying. You'll deal with God through the blood of his own son, the sacrifice he made, that bloody, perfect offering, his life laid down. And that will be your righteousness before God and your reason for every blessing, or he will damn your soul. Huh? It's true now. Because God told him. And he's not going to kill Christ himself and then accept what me and you do that's sinful. Our prayers are pleasing to Jesus. Our giving is accepted through the precious blood. Our praise pleases God because our faith is only in his Son. That's the only reason I want God to look at me. And then you please God. And he smiles upon you. And he loves you and me for Christ's sake. It's not because I'm a missionary. Oh, I wouldn't dare tell you.
Bless me because I'm a missionary.
Bless me because your son is a missionary who came and gave his soul.
What his son did perfectly,
whom he has already accepted and raised up from the dead and put on the top of the throne, or what you do knowing yourself in secret.
Right on.
I'm coming only one way. The precious blood of Christ. And I'm going to be accepted every day. So I'm going to have so much peace for Christ that he's going to bless us because of Christ. He'll speak peace to the conscience, which your works cannot do, your faith in Christ will do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
It's true now. Give it up. Pastor, me and you stand on the same ground as the prostitute who is overhearing the gospel and believes it at this moment. You can't even see it. But she's there listening, and God touches her heart. She is as righteous as us.
Yeah.
As much a child of God, as much love as Mary herself. Is it not true?
True.
Let's not blame the Catholics for exalting Mary, and then do it ourselves. The pastors, prophets, this mama, that daddy. Nobody's Christ. God, he loves it. He loves when he's nobody and Christ is all. He's never happier. When he preaches and everybody starts talking about Christ, he listens with such joy. But when they come to him, he still says they ain't got it yet.
He wants you to see his son.
The apostles preached Christ. Even Jesus preached himself in all the scriptures.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord bless us. And we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, I got done preaching, it was a great sermon, Lord, I haven't sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Deal with him by the blood. All blessings are because of the blood. all forgiveness because of the blood of Christ. And so you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of darkness. All of us, Ephesians 2:3, previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, prostitution or preaching, it doesn't matter, carrying out the desires of our flesh and thoughts, and were by nature the children of wrath, just like everybody else. Are you better than other people? Or did God have mercy on you? Just keep that attitude and you'll love sinners. It's like he was saying to go out and make peace and to forgive your enemies. When you know you're no better than your enemy, and the only reason that you love God and are not the enemy of God, and the only reason it was them who sinned against you instead of you sinning against them is the mercy of God, you'll find a way to forgive people. The blessed gospel. It sets a man free to be like Christ. And who forgave like Christ? In fact, he forgave everybody. If they came to be good enough, I fasted, I prayed, I tithed, I thank you, I'm not like other men. Scripture says he prayed thus with himself. He was never heard by God. But the publican beat upon his chest, be merciful to me, the sinner. He went home dancing. He went home righteous, justified, forgiven, accepted. And that's how we walk every day. Precious blood of Christ. Let's go back to Ezekiel, please. Chapter number 37. I appreciate your patience. And are you understanding my language?
Yeah,
I'm not sorry. I got two obstacles. It's my accent is very strange. And as I said earlier, I am praying to learn broken. It can happen. I'll be no bother. It can happen. But the second obstacle is much more serious. It's because preachers use the same words with a different meaning.
Yeah.
So it's hard to understand what's being said. Plus, it's the message so strange. But that's why it takes the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the Spirit quickens. He gives an understanding. He causes uneducated people to know more than scholars. I almost went to seminary. And I had been converted for about a year. And so some people were saying go, other people were saying no. And so I went for a class, it was a week-long class, and it was for people studying to get their doctorate in theology. And so they had a bachelor's, and they had a master's, and they're studying now to be doctors. And I sat in on the class, and out of all of the students that were in that class, it was only one other person and the professor and myself who could, from their heart, talk about the gospel of God's grace. Everybody else, it was only in here. And then a week later, I went to a conference in the country. And it was people in blue jeans and in flannel shirts, you know, truck drivers, mechanics, and I heard them talk about God with superior wisdom and knowledge. And that's when I said, I'm not going to go to this school. I'm going to get involved in the local church under a pastor who knows the gospel. I'm going to study, I'm going to learn.
Yes, sir.
All you need is the Bible and the Holy Spirit and a teachable heart. And it helps you to have a good example.
you in the right direction. And then a hunger to see that direction. But if you never read any other book in your life but that book, you're smarter than most people on that prayer. You don't have to envy anybody else's if you know that.
Right on.
It's because the people of God are not second-class citizens to anybody.
The people in Nigeria on the dirt floor who worship God in truth are superior than multitudes in the USA who don't know Him. In cathedrals. That doesn't matter.
Let's go back into Ezekiel chapter 37. That is a free addition. But these bones were very dry. Verse number 3. Then he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I replied, Lord God, only you know. Only you have the power to do anything about this situation. Thank you, brother. Because there is no man on planet Earth
I can go out to the cemetery, open up caskets, empty out bones, and make them come to life. That's the realm of God. And he's talking about us spiritually. It's resurrection power. It's what he has to do to save us. It's not just, tell the sinner the truth, and then leave him to himself, and of his own he'll come to Christ. It don't work like that. No man can come to me except my Father which has sent me will draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me. They don't have the ability. They don't have the full power. And at the place as to where I live in Lagos, it's a little bar. It's a restaurant bar. It's right here. So I have Bible study on Saturday mornings with some pastors and some neighbors. And then the bar is right here. And then I go out in the week and I preach on the street. But then the bar is right here. And you know the people who have been in my home would rather go back to the bar than to hear the gospel because it's their nature. Until God changes their nature, changes their heart, changes their mind, they cannot resist the devil. They're under his dominion. They can't get out of their situation. They love sin. They are sinners. But when God intervenes and gives a new heart,
you want new things. You see his law. And so can these bones live? Only you know. Let's go into the book of John chapter 3. I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but I think it'll be helpful. The book of John chapter 3. This is when the Pharisee named Nicodemus was coming unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to him by night because he wanted some answers. And he came to him in some sincerity. But he came to him in ignorance. And the Lord Jesus replied to him in verse 3, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Can I ask a question? Can you enter into a kingdom that you cannot see? No. I don't know where it is. I don't even know that it is. I know nothing about it at all. So I have to be born again before I can even put my faith in Christ. There has to be a
miracle from heaven to give me an understanding of the gospel. You are not born again by believing, but you were born again by the Spirit of the living God into belief. You see that? It's not that I, as a dead sinner, exercise faith and then I'm born into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit comes by the Word of God and gives me the new birth and faith at the same time. But how can anyone be born? As to when he's old, Nicodemus asked him, can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? But Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of the water, that is his word, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He has to be saved already to come in. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the Spirit is now spirit. Don't be amazed. I told you, you must be born again. And the wind blows wherever it pleases and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. God does it as he pleases. The truth is preached. The Spirit comes. He gives life. And the sinner comes to Christ. Sees him glorious. He sees him as everything. He sees his sins exceedingly sinful. He sees the precious blood. He comes, he takes, believes, repents. He calls upon God. He obtains the inheritance. Because God is working in his heart already. It's not human. It's not something that the pastor can do. This is important now. Listen to me. If you send your precious children unto the pastor to be born again, what's going to happen when you meet God and he says, I didn't send them unto me? You have to get to God. And you get to God because God came and he got you. And you come to me to be told about God, who you still must get to by faith. It's with the word truth. And it's with the Spirit's power. Let's go back into Ezekiel. Are you still with me now?
Yes.
So these bones were exceedingly dry. They're very dead. Can they live? Oh, Lord God, only you know. Let's pick it up at verse number 4. I'm going to speed up a bit. He said to me, prophesy, Ezekiel 37:4, concerning these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones, I will cause breath. Now this is the true gospel. He's preaching the covenant of grace. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. Salvation is by the promises of God being believed. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow upon you, and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, and so I prophesied as I had been commanded. And while I was prophesying and obeying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I looked, tendons appeared upon them, flesh grew, skin covered them, but there was no life in them. That's the parable of the four soils. The first soil heard, and the word was on hard ground, and couldn't grow anything. And the
next soil bird and it sprung up with joy and said, hallelujah. But when persecution came over the gospel, it shriveled back. It was still dead in itself. And the next soil came and it sprung up, but it got choked out by thorns. Why? The scripture says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of money. It took its part in the way of God. So there are many people who look sad and are not. And what he's saying is that it came up, it looked alive, but it had no life. That's the multitude of people who hear me preach, but are never born again. What you're saying is true, but they never truly believe it. There was never a power of church. Sister B, they were excited like you, and they went back. Early men, they didn't pay a price. And what the scripture says, it was the fourth soil that understood and brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. What did they understand? Give me Christ for I die. They understood that they were dead in sin. They understood that there was no good in them. They understood that the wrath of God was coming. They understood that Jesus Christ came and satisfied judgment. They understood that the world means nothing.
Yes.
Did y'all sing the old hymns there? And I heard you in the tune, but in your own language. But it's how to like trust and obey, but there's no other way. I don't know if it's good or not. But your old hymn book has the gospel. An old red hymn book, that's what the missionaries came the first time. And they didn't have a miraculous healing ministry that healed nobody truly. What they did was they came and built hospitals and taught you the gospel. Did they come asking you for any money, or did they build schools for free? That's the true gospel now. It was here once before, but it's almost been wiped away from Nigeria. And that's why I came. You all broke my heart from the USA when I looked at you and cried. Because the people prophesy is the prophets preach falsely and the people love it. Tell me more, Daddy. Tell me more. He said, come on, man. Brothers. Aren't we brethren? Aren't we the same in Christ? Aren't we leaning on the same blood? Aren't we equally loved by God? Can't you know God even more than me? Just when I have a gift of preaching? Don't you know for yourself? Can't you know through Him, through the one mediator, Jesus Christ our Lord?
Right on. I hear you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I hear you.
Yes, sir. Come on now. Just because people are religious doesn't mean we know. But when God gives us life, we understand the gospel. The comfort, the power, the joy, the peace, how it means everything. Take everything but give me Jesus. Isn't that in our hymn book?
Yeah.
I give Him my silver and gold and give me Jesus.
Yeah.
Those early missionaries didn't come here for Naira. Did you know, brothers, that the more prosperity preachers in Nigeria, the poorer Nigeria gets?
Yeah, right on.
It's a scam.
Right on, I hear you, sir.
I've done my research. It used to be 20 Naira to the dollar back in the 1990s. How rich would you be right now? Now it's 360 or...
the rise of false prophets has murdered you. Worse than politicians. You vote the politician in the office and you know that he's going to steal. You think that the false prophet is going to help you. He's the worst human being on earth. No, sister, I love the false prophet. That's an amazing grace. He can save the worst human being alive. Ain't none of all.
But without life, it's just religion. And the thing I'm saying is no preacher can give you life. This is why Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. Let me quote you this. And when you hear preaching now, you need to head back home and take your Bible and you want to read up and see what the preacher said. Is it true? Is it in context? I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to get an understanding of the word. And if it's good, amen, I'm going to live by it. If it's not, I'm going to go somewhere else. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul puts it like this. Verse number 4. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but rather God who examines our hearts. Why is Paul saying that?
Because only God can give life from the dead. I can preach truth, but only God can save someone.
Yeah, I know.
Ezekiel prophesied exactly as God said, but nothing came to life. And so Paul is saying, I'm not trying to please them, I'm trying to please God. Examine my heart. There is no hiding this. From this, I got to give him glory. From this, he must speak to me. From this, I must trust him. It's in secret, oh. A man's prayer life is more powerful than his riches. Communion with God. It's confidence in God. It's not the wisdom of our words.
First Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. Now God has revealed these things to us. How? Not by the man, not by the preacher, but by the Spirit. He used the preacher's mouth, but it's by the Spirit. Why does one man hear and the other man cannot hear and stays dead in his sin? The Spirit gives life to whom he will. For the Spirit teaches everything, even the deep things of God.
And when the Lord Jesus Christ told Peter to cast his net into the deep for a great catch of fish, Peter said, I've been toiling all night, I've been preaching all day, I haven't caught anything, but then these bones are standing up. Has to speak to us from the Bible before we can speak to somebody else. It's by revelation. It's not by this. This is a tool to get in here, but it has to get in here. It has to come with such power that he makes Ezekiel a deliverer. It has to carry Ezekiel before Ezekiel can do any good for anybody else. Supernatural. And you know why it's the foundations of the Lord? That no man can talk about his own salvation or anybody else's. There's not one person I've ever brought to Christ by myself. Well, let me put it like this. I brought them to the Master, but only he gave them life. Only he can make that change happen in the heart. So he gets all glory, all praise, all praise. And you know what? That change. When everybody, pastor included, is praising God from the heart because salvation is of the Lord and it's his work. in business, in glory. Now you say his praises for real. Now he enjoys your community, and he's with you in his presence and blessing. Now you got God.
When the glory goes to him, he's there. He inhabits the praises of his people. He's there. Let's go back to Ezekiel, and I'm going to try to wrap up. And so, verse number 8, it says, who said that? Oh, you're paying such good attention. I was just going to tell a little recap of verse 8 and then get into verse 9. Verse 8 says it had no life. Verse number 9 now. He said to me, prophesy to the wind. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Speak to God. Deal with God. Look to God, preacher. Prophesy, son of man, that's all you are, but say to the wind, this is what the Lord God says. According to the covenant of grace, according to the promise, according to the precious blood of Christ, that he must have his people breathe and come from the four winds, the four corners of the earth, and breathe on these slain. They're still dead, so that they may live. And so I pleaded with God. I prophesied to the wind. I preached by faith as he commanded me. And the breath, it entered them to life. And they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. What could this church do in life? I have no idea.
But it could conquer something. It could be famous around the world from here. People would come here to worship God, who knew God, who heard about it, because it'd be so miraculous. You Nigerians can perhaps be the greatest people ever. You have a gift of language. You're colorful people, intelligent people. Get the truth and preach it. Stop giving glory to man. And glorify God by trusting him. He'll work in our midst. No man can do. God will do what we believe in. If you believe, you will see the glory of God.
Verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now Israel is a representative nation that was chosen by God to represent God choosing his people out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. The elect and chosen nation are all who believe, according to Galatians 3 and 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen generation. There's a song here about that, ain't there? I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in victory. That's every believer, black, white, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor. He used to be gay, he used to be straight. We're in the elect family of God. We're the Israel of God. Yes, so. But look how they say our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. And how we're cut off. And so when God saves a man, he does make him hopeless. And it can last for a very, very short time. You can hear the gospel, the same sermon, and enjoy it. Or it can last for months and years.
Brother John Bunyan, a long time ago, it's Brother William Huntington, Spurgeon. But when you get to that hopelessness, and you've been chosen by God, will bring a word of covenant. And really and truly, every sinner who wants salvation will be saved.
If it's a filthy sinner who is dead,
who can't do nothing and nobody can help him,
he'll send you Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh, it's true. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda. He had been there for over 30 years. And the Lord asked him, "Do you want to be made whole?" And he said, "I don't have anybody to help me."
Exactly.
You rise up more. I got nobody. That's who the Son always saves. But he says in verse 12, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people. Not a physical and a literal grave, but a spiritual grave in your soul, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel." Not a physical land, but the promised land of the blessed promises of God. And you know it's not money, but it is content. Has God promised you money?
No.
I high five you, hug you. But he promised you peace that surpasses all knowledge. And having food and raiment, you will receive peace. And his promise is to supply all you need. If I need it, I get it. And if it is better to die, I will gain. Our doctrine is the truth. The man is Christ, he's not going to be better. Don't be scared of the death system. It's the best thing you ever had. That makes you just fearless. Because you know, nothing can stop me like this. Nothing. After fearing no man, or fearing or fear anything. There will be fear, because you're not impervious to pain, but you got comfort. There's pain in childbirth, but there's joy as you bring forth a son. There's sorrow in this world. There are thorns and tears, but there's the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And if he can wake me up from the dead and give me spiritual life, he can give me peace in tough times. He can make us praise God from the heart in Nigeria on a dirt floor and sing praises until they're heard in the U.S. It's true. It's true. He brought me here. He can bring back a good report and encourage people in the USA who are unhappy with everything they've got, because it's a competition to have more. And the mouth of man is never satisfied. He that loves the silver will never be satisfied.
I know. Yeah, I
hear you, son. I know. Leave a car and a house everywhere.
It's true now.
But it was an old woman in Ireland that all she had was bread and a little bit of water. She lifted up her hands and said, "All this was Christ. All this was Christ."
It's true. But I want to work down to verse number 14. So we're at verse number 13 now. "You will know that I'm the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them." It's after he saves me, I know him. "I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, in the sweet pastures of Scripture, the promises of God. Then you will know that I'm Yahweh, I'm the Lord. I have spoken," and he says, "I will do it." This is a declaration of the Lord. Then my last point. After God has saved you, you understand what I've been saying. Not before. After he has forgiven you, now you know the doctrine in your spirit. It's not just in theology, though. It's from a bleeding heart. That's where the tears come from. It's in here. He takes a man that's dead. He can't help himself. He can't even be helped by the preacher. And then he comes to him in sovereign power. He raises him from the dead. He quickens him. Gives him life. He makes him born again so he can see the kingdom of God. And he enters in, and there's rich pastures
and there's treasures everywhere in Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ, wisdom and understanding and knowledge. I am more surprised than anybody understands the gospel of anything.
That's from God.
You can get a PhD in a university. But you know God is the most special, precious, private, penetrating thing in all the world. It's a miracle that makes you say amen. And what the scripture says is, they shall all be taught of God, and they won't need any man to teach them. That's 1 John 2. But see, what that means is that you know it for yourself. It doesn't mean that I'm not sent to preach. If he gave apostles, and he gave prophets, and he banished the pastors and teachers to help the people. But the people know Christ for themselves. You don't have to come to me and say, pray to God for me. You come to me and say, pray to God with me. You know forgiveness for yourself. You understand. And don't ask me. Say, give me an understanding of what that preacher was preaching. I can see it in the text, but I'm still confused, Lord. Make it my experience. And when you know God, you're one of the common words of His love. And that love of the gospel will keep you in every season that you get to heaven. And all that you be a prophet of the gospel. Amen.
I know you don't.